Thank you. I just want to point out that we set aside 30 minutes for this report and discussion, and we're probably past that at this point. And so, and Barbara still has the second document she needs to review and for us to talk about. And Andrea had asked the floor.
Yeah, I was going to just basically suggest this, as opposed to haranguing us with all of, which is good ideas, really, but to succinctly write that down today, ask him when he's here to list that and give it to Andrew, you know, in a succinct order. Or do we have this? Do we have this job to carry on for this specific activity or not? So that we can maybe get some answers and then we'll know for sure. So I would suggest, could you list those? Because they were really good, good points and suggestions. Do we have a developer? Where are we on this? And then let's go from there. Let's find out where and who we are right now. And if we don't have it, then that's what we're going to have to try to program for to advance the topic and move it forward. That's all. I don't want to waste time. Barbara, yeah, I know you got the other part.
Frank.
I'm sorry, I know we're trying to move on, but I just want to give one quick example of the website thing. At the No Nukes demo that KPFA had, I was attending that and took about 30, 40 pretty awesome pictures, some of them. And when I approached the web guy to put them up on the internet, there was no place to put them. So stuff like that, where are we going to put? I took a bunch of good shots of the stage, the No Nukes banner, the march.
All right.
And so where are we going to put all those? So that would just be a great place to showcase the photos we take. And we always encourage the apprentices to take a camera with them when they report to get some shots. Mm-hmm. And we post them on our Facebook, but they're not
so
on the KPFA.
So, Frank, are you on this technology committee?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to work on one, but it's not that one.
Well, I'd like to say, in summary, I know people feel as though this ought to happen in the budget process. You're just trying to find some place for this to happen. And the budget process has a lot of other things that it has to really concentrate on. And I think this is a big subject that needs to be a separate committee, and I think you need to be working with the interim general manager and whoever to impress upon them how important we all think this is. The fact that the budget workshop took most of its time to discuss this and for people to give their input and ideas is very significant. And I'm sorry he's not here to hear this particular part of the report, but I do get a number of chances to see him and talk to him. And I will be saying, you know, before you got to the meeting, here's a little summary. We talked about this again. So I don't know if that's how you want to form a specific committee or try to put some new blood into the technology committee and take Andrew up on his invitations to come and see him.
I move to extend the meeting 10 more minutes for this particular topic because okay. We're still on the budget and we haven't gotten
on
to
this
it.
Part.
Yeah,
on
can we
part.
Limit just cut down on all our
okay.
esoteric
there,
fluff?
Okay.
Is there any objection to extending the discussion for 10 more minutes?
No, are you meaning not a discussion of
No. The treasurer's
report.
The real McGill.
We're through with the discussion on the budget workshop.
Okay. All right, very. There's no objection. We'll do that. So go ahead, Barbara. Let me just say for people who are coming in, there is a speakers list for public comments on the table on the clipboard. We decided to bifurcate the public comments because there were a couple of people who came at the beginning of the meeting and needed to speak and wanted to leave. So they spoke to us earlier. We will have another public comment section probably before the general manager's report, immediately after this report. So if you've come to make public comments and your name is not on the list, put your name on the list. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, well, I'll get a drink of water first.
Yes.
Okay, now, this big document that you've got, I'm happy to say, I hope this is true, there's no errors in this one. You know, I've brought you documents before where I've had to say, oh my God, at the last minute we found out in such and such a section there was a problem. This is, and it does not include any information about April, except at the very bottom of the front page, it does give the cash in the bank at the end of April, $146,218. And at that point, we had $13,605 worth of bills waiting to be paid. I mean, they were not waiting a long time. They were just the next bills that were going to be paid. So looking at the rest of the front page here, this is kind of a, this is a summary. This is not all the budget categories, but it is to give you the basic information about the ones that everybody seems to be the most interested in. And of course, at the very top on the right-hand corner, it has the total revenue and the expenses year to date, and then the net income after that. So looking at the total revenue, I know I read these figures off before, and people later told me, oh, when you talk these numbers, it just goes over. Nobody's paying attention. So I put down here a summary of what was budgeted and what was actually an actual income and the difference for the first quarter, the second quarter, and the combination of those two quarters, the six-month or half of year. So you can see that for what was budgeted, we did exceed the revenue by $120,880.
At mid-year.
And let's just open it for a minute here and see how this is laid out inside. So the first two pages, when you open it up like this, is actually the first quarter, the second quarter, and then on the next page, the summary of those, which is the mid-year. And then there is a column for every month left in the year with just the budget figures in them. Now, I know we've gone through April already, but April books are not totally closed. So this is just a good example, and I hope the LSB members will keep this document because you'll want it when we start working on the budgeting for the next year and reports on the following months in this year. So we've got the budget figures here for the 6 months at the second half of the year. Now, I want to say something about the budget. You all remember that last fall there was a tussle about what budget we were going to have. And the management and staff had gotten together a budget that they were calling the sustainable budget. And it didn't really make it through all the steps of approval. And a budget was, as some people felt, forced on KPFA from the Pacifica National Board. It turns out that, in fact, the Pacifica National Board budget did take many of the suggestions that were in the sustainable budget about reducing salaries. And the budget that we've been acting under has those salary reductions in them. However, some people's salaries were not cut. And for instance, it's now become clear that there had been a voluntary reduction of the general manager position, two or three general managers back, to 98% of its salary. And that 98% has stayed in the budget, even though our interim general manager now is being paid at 100% of his salary rate. There has been a number of positions, namely in the news department, where people voluntarily reduced their hours to accommodate keeping a certain number of staff on. But there have been other programmers, one in particular, who no one has taken the authority to cut this person's salary. So we are...
So what's the difference between...
It's hard
budget,
to...
What is the salary budgeted at?
I believe it's 50%, and he's still being paid 100%. And there are a couple of other positions in the tech department that the manager there has refused to cut. So these are the things that are making us show up with overdraft, more or less, over budget in our salary figures. So this is a problem that you guys need to somehow address and deal with. And not just argue amongst yourselves, but the management scheme of the way things are run make this very difficult. There's so much changeover in who's in charge that I believe this has contributed greatly to the inability of the salary reductions that everybody has wanted to be effectuated. So, then...
Can I ask you a question?
We're almost out of time.
Okay, I'm not going to take you through this whole six pages.
No,
let me finish, please. So, in looking at this first page here, inside, there's the section of all different kinds of income that we get. And by the way, the central services are calculated on just the listener support, the first item. The other kinds of income are not subject to that percentage. If you look down to line 33 and 34, those calculations for central services are based on line 4. And the section below that, the furniture, fixtures, the thing that ends up as total cash and capital items are more or less are informational. They are not part of the calculations. except that the thing they call the in any case, the net income and loss is not really reflected accurately down here. These things are more or less long-term expenses and debts, and this is more informational, and it does relate to the budget overall. Thank you. However, you should focus more on the expense section, and when you turn the page, you'll see each of those sections broken down. Administrative, board expenses, and I should say that all salaries are in one section. They're all salaries. In other words, the development expenses do not include salaries for that section. The programming expenses do not include salaries for that section. Okay. Well, I hope that people will study this and come with questions again next time that we visit this. I'm sorry we don't have more time to go over it now, but one of the main problems that we have in the business office at KPFA is the difference between the budget that is being reported on by the national office and the budget that we have to use in order to make accurate, useful reports.
Okay, are you ready for questions?
As I've said before, Maria has taken, made adjustments when positions were empty, and then made adjustments when they were hired again. And she's made adjustments when fundraising dates change. And those adjustments are not made by the national office. So we have this kind of disconnect that we work with continually.
So we haven't reconciled, huh?
Okay.
Sorry, you guys.
Sorry.
Yes, Tracy.
Yeah. Thank you. We talked about these numbers in some detail back at the previous meeting. So the only thing I wanted to add was, is it possible that we can schedule a brief executive session either this meeting or the next one in order to have you elaborate on the points that you made regarding
the budget differences?
Yeah, the budget differences, the lack of reconciliation in some cases between what's on the books and what's actually going on, because I don't think we can have a meaningful budget process if things don't match in that way. And obviously, we need more specific clarification
actually,
to understand fully what you said.
What happens is Maria has to deal with both.
Yeah.
And so
it should be the same. What's planned is what should be occurring.
Exactly.
So could we schedule that? This meeting might not be appropriate,
right,
but at least for next month?
I think that Maria would like to be there. She has...
Okay.
She would need to be there.
Yeah. She has expressed... she's not dying to come to a lot of meetings, but she knows that she could help understand, explain
okay.
things.
If we could plan that for the next month, that'd be good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
Andrea.
that one. You had your hand up.
Well... I'm gonna, my question is on that topic. I guess I'm trying to understand the process. It sounded to me like what you were saying is that somebody is being paid a full-time salary, but they're supposed to be getting a half-time.
There's a half-time budgeted for it.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out like, who writes the paychecks and how could that happen?
Well, it's really a matter of who that person's supervisor is. And so now we're talking individuals, which is not exactly the best thing to do right now.
Okay.
So,
yes.
May we, you know, it's a question that I think we can ask. If we can line up our questions for Andrew, you know, so that he can go back, because we have positions not filled or not, you know,
mm-hmm.
we can at least ask the generic question, you know, is there an effort to go about,
I'm not sure,
you know,
he has a complete understanding of
well,
this.
I'm not either, but we can still ask
mm-hmm.
the question and go on record as asking
mm-hmm.
him the question so that we can have some documentation that this board has some kind of semblance of sanity about what are the salary savings or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
at least to ask the question of him. And then try to move this forward. I agree with Tracy that we do need to meet to really figure out how we could get all of us on the same page here, because we do have, from what you're saying, salary savings, and you keep talking about this long-term end of the budget that keeps it at the end of the budget that we haven't reconciled either. So there are some areas that I really wish
You're speaking about a particular account hasn't been reconciled for a number of years.
Yeah, right. And
it's,
so we don't
it's
need
the account where they keep track of the loans and repayments that go back and forth between the stations and the National Office and the Radio Archives.
Right, right.
And this is an account that is seriously out of balance.
Right, right.
As far as records keeping
and tracking.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole tracking of it all. I picked that up. I gathered that. So we need to figure that out. Okay? Great.
Pass,
thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
Hold on a second, Pam. Richard has a point of order, yes?
Actually, information could be ordered later, but where are we on the time of this 10-minute extension?
We're,
it seems like it's...
We're over time.
That's what I thought.
I was being a little loose because the next item on the agenda is the general manager's report.
Can we do committee reports or something?
Yeah, we could do committee reports. Okay. Yeah, we'll... Okay.
No, my only comment was that... I know it would be good to have a closed session next meeting, but I don't think we need to know the names in order to ask the IGM, would he please handle this situation? If something is budgeted, he needs to have it reconciled. I don't think we even need to know who it is or discuss individuals in order to ask him to do that job. That's his job.
Okay. Sharam, and then we're going to move
yes.
on. Give him the...
Sorry. Just a quick question. How many people are we talking about?
How many what?
How many people who's... for whom there is a discrepancy in terms of salaries and
positions.
I think it's three or four.
Okay.
But I'm not certain. I would have to, I just.
Okay. Okay, so we're gonna move on now. Perhaps we should do the, all right. So let's move on to committee reports. And then when the GM arrives, we'll go back. Perhaps, let me suggest this. Let's go move on to committee reports. I think there are people here who came to speak in the later part, but I don't, think Lisa was one of them, but she's not in the room right now. I don't know where she is. Okay.
Her coat's there.
I know her coat's there. I don't know where she is. Okay. So, because I was going to say public comment now, but. The general manager is here. Oh, well. He gets a seat at the table, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's safe.
All right. So in that case,
there's a men's room.
Yeah. Get a hand up. So we'll give the general manager a moment to catch his breath.
Give him a lot of paper.
And then we'll go on to the general manager's report. Did you have a question, Richard?
No, I actually have a point of order.
Yes.
I'm sorry I wasn't here. Last meeting I was at Kaiser Hospital with my wife, but something happened last meeting that was out of order and needs to be rescinded. There was a censure motion for Tracy Rosenberg, and under Robert's Rules of Order, which guides our procedure on that, conduct outside of the meeting has to be dealt with in a different manner than you did. It has to have a separate trial. You didn't do that. That motion needs to be rescinded. It's improper. And that's section 630. No, that isn't. You can raise a point of order on a previous error at any time.
May I make a request that we that you hold this matter until after we hear the report from the GM?
In the meantime, all the naysayers, go read your Robert's Rules, look at section 630.
Thank you.
That was awful nice of you, Con, to give me the finger.
Oh, it's okay. Cool it, guys, cool it. Stop.
I mean, we had
okay, it's all right. I would...
I'm not flipping anybody off.
Okay. I would like to recognize Andrew to make the general manager's report. Are you ready, Andrew? Yeah, he needs a minute. Oh, and I want to, for the record, that Hunmi arrived. Thank you. Hunmi.
It's
Hyunmi. Okay, give him a microphone. So, oh, here, you can have this. It's heavy.
Good morning, everybody. I apologize for my lateness this morning. the current membership drive total is a little bit over 55,000 $5,600, I think it is. Okay.
Say that again.
It's roughly 564K at this point. So it probably means we'll be in the hole at least probably $150,000, I would expect. So I suppose the main part of my report has to do with why we're here and what we can do about it. And then I'll address a few other issues that came up when I was here a month or so ago. Part of the reason we're here is because of the way the program changes were announced, and I will take a hit for that. At the same time, point out that the making program changes at any community station is a complicated process, and KPFA there was and still is currently no program council, so there really was and is currently no process to go through making changes, and so the program director, Kerry Kerr, and myself put out some changes which were very controversial. If one were to look at those changes, however, you'd see in some senses there was very little change. No programmers were taken off the air. We moved two programmers who both have had considerable experience in morning broadcasting with quite a degree of success at other stations to the morning. We proposed moving a program, Democracy Now!, which was already being broadcast twice on the station, is on the internet and is available on 900 other outlets around the country and around the world on the internet, actually. But I know how radio works, and one gets very comfortable to hearing their programs at certain times, and a lot of people were very upset about our proposal to take that program from 9 o'clock in the morning. The other changes that we had indicated, the main changes, were to bring more of you collectively, our listeners, into the station by having a program called Court Talkback in the afternoons during afternoon drive, and to also bring in more of our volunteers, which of which we have a really capable group of people, thanks to the forward-looking apprenticeship program, which has produced so many of our broadcasters that are currently on the air, to give them a chance to have more access to the air and to interface with our listeners. So really, if one looks at it, there wasn't much change at all, except that we were shifting time. But having said that, we got tremendous... well, let me put it this way. We got, I don't mean to be controversial, but the appearance of tremendous pushback. We have a very well-organized, and I'll address this in a minute, and I don't like to use the word opposition at this station. This is no secret. Some might say we have a fifth column in the station. I don't think that would be too much of an exaggeration. Some people in this room, some people in the community, and some people in the station would like to see KPFA break off from Pacifica. That would be historic, and I think tragic. It's not my intention while I'm here to see that happen. And so it seems to me any opportunity that those who would like to, those who support that position, any opportunity they have, and unfortunately many in the station, many affiliated with our union, and I don't want this to be seen as union bashing, it's just a matter of fact. Many in our union, and the KPFA worker, the anonymous website, we don't know who runs it. On one hand, it's a covert website, but it walks in lockstep with many union positions and many in the station, and so one can make suppositions, which I'm not going to make. I'll leave those up to you, those who want to make them. But it's been very, very divisive. Now, when we put out the program changes, we pressed the send button and held our breath, and a tsunami came back. And we changed our minds. And I felt hubris, I'll admit. I said, fuck it, no change. Leave it alone. Just let it go on as it is. That was about 24 hours. And then we thought, well, we can't let it going go as it is, because for some years now we've been on a downward spiral. And we had, as I said in quotations, a controversial change in our morning lineup. We can argue about that till the cows come home. But it's happened. And the talented Amy Allison is not at the station as we sit here today. She may be in the future. I don't know. But she certainly isn't in today. And I'll go out on a bit of a limb and say that the other host, Brian Edward Tickett, talented broadcaster, intelligent man, but, as you've all heard, is quite prepared to go onto the station and create dissent and to bring points of view to the air which in many instances are just not accurate. I'll be happy to address some of these questions in a moment. And so one of the things the FCC asks of management is that thou shalt have control of the air. Now, if you've got programmers, and we do have programmers, and we have had, and we still have programmers who really skirt that boundary. And when management pushes back, we face grievances from the union. And when we face grievances from the union, because as management, we have the responsibility to protect the foundation, I would suggest and submit that we are forced to spend exorbitant amounts of money on people in many cases I don't have a lot of respect for, all company in the room excluded, of course, lawyers, and they cost a lot of money. The union doesn't have to pay for that. I don't know if you're a lawyer or not, sir. And so we find a negative feedback loop happening now, where the station has to spend your money, listener supported money, and I'd be angry too, on lawyers. Your money. And why do we have to do it? Because our staff puts up grievances which in most recent cases have been rejected by the NLRB, and so we get in this negative feedback group, and here we are. And of course, that information goes out in excruciating detail on a website called kpfaworker.org. Now, corporate underwriting. Three meetings ago I stood up when I first arrived and I said, paraphrasing, and you can go back and listen to the record the news department has, and you'll hear what I believe I said was, I think that KPFA should explore corporate underwriting. I think that KPFA should explore developing and expanding its web presence. I think that we should be looking at other ways to raise money. I did not say that I supported corporate underwriting. There is a difference, is there not? But not in our news department and not on the KPFA worker. And to this day, you go to that site and you'll see that misquotation, not taken down. And when the story broke, and when the participant from the Unity and Justice faction at WBAI broke the story,
He didn't run a couple of yards down the corridor to WBI's newsroom, no. He went across the continent to KPFA, and it appeared on our news, not on WPFW, not on KPFT, not on KPFK, on KPFA. Gee. So, I'm a journalist. When I was a journalist, I was taught not to get one source, hopefully get two, get three if you can, triple source, get your facts straight. Now, we have very experienced people in our newsroom, and they didn't get their facts straight. The young man who broke the story wasn't as experienced as his people he's responsible to. He's a volunteer, and he got caught up in it. And I don't actually blame him. I'm not coming down on him. But I'll tell you what, I was really angry when I heard that, partially because I felt, and I said, that this was a Fox News-like smear. And I felt that that's what it was like. It was not accurate, and it was designed to cause more dissension in KPFA. It was designed, and is part of the reason that our fundraiser is going down the shooter. Okay? Let's call it straight. Secondly, I put out immediately my response. And I wrote hard. One of our news people came to my office and was pretty shocked and said, why aren't you supporting our staff? And I said, and why did you put that out so widely? And I said, do you think that that went out as widely as that news story went out? No. What else was I to do? Was I to go on the air and cry like a baby? Not my style, actually. I haven't gone on the air and refuted much of this because, frankly, I don't quite know what to do about it. I don't think that's the answer, to create more dissidence or dissonance in our system. But I did feel I could put out that news system, that memorandum, and I did. And so, of course, that came back on the KPFA website too, .org website. Now, you get my drift. There's been great dissension created at the station, and quite most recently, under a good deal of pressure, and I understand the pressure, and I have respect for our paid staff and our unpaid staff at the station. Most of our staff, all of our staff, but some have worked particularly hard, some in this room, to make this membership work, and it's been difficult. I'll tell you this too. When I was in community radio some years ago, we ran our membership drives quite differently. Now, I just arrived at this station, and I realized now I didn't have a handle on this membership drive. I'm pretty shocked the way we run a membership drive here, and we need to sit down and talk about how we run a membership drive in the future. Because it strikes me, if you've got 52 weeks in a year, and the last I heard we did, I don't think the world ended today. I don't think it did. Maybe it will in a minute. 6 o'clock Eastern. Say again?
6 o'clock Eastern.
Oh, okay. We've got 52 weeks in the year. We've got roughly, let's say, 3, 6, 9 weeks of fundraising plus another. Call that 10 weeks. So for 42 weeks of the year, I'm a producer, I come in and do my program. But for 10 weeks of the year, we say, no, get the hell out of here. Here comes Chris Hedges. Or here comes Richard Wolfe. Valuable minds and voices in our community. Probably should be on the air more often. So you either got to say, if you can't pitch your own programming for 42 weeks, then why, and you've got to get off the air for someone, why the hell are you on for 42 weeks now? Get out of here. Let's bring someone on that can raise money for the station. I mean, that's simplistic, I know. Now, the other side of this is, if you've got to bring in all of these powerful voices and turn us into the home shopping network for 10 weeks, then do it for 52 and make a bundle. I mean, it has to be revisited, I would submit. And it's not just KPFA. It's been common for many years in community radio that this is the way we've tended to raise money. And it's why when I joined you at the meeting 3 months ago and suggested that our website need to be looked at, that we could, and I believe should, be putting that kind of information on our website 24/7. Press a button, here comes Chris Hedges for $25, not $75, $105, you know. And that's all right, but it's discriminatory. We know the way we do it. And so we're struggling, and so it's a self-defeating proposition, I would submit, and we have to revisit it. Now, having said all of this, you can see that I'm the manager, and in some senses my hands are tied. Not so much by the executive director, as some people would like to say they are, but by the internal fractious nature of the station, and in a sense my inability or unwillingness or lack of skill, call it whatever you may, to be able to negotiate so far the landmines that exist in the system at KPFA. So what does that all add up to? It adds up to, potentially, I'm not saying this is going to happen, and I hope it doesn't, but it adds up to, when you get this discordant situation and you find the station losing money, what are you going to do? Are we now going to go back to this situation of taking more paid staff off from the station? Who goes first? The least senior, John Hamilton. And here we go again. So this has to stop. There has to be some way of dealing with this situation. And I would submit that you as an LSB, because let's speak frankly here, you've been part of the problem too.
Everybody's a problem but you.
Well, thank you. I'm pleased to hear that. I started out by saying, sir, that I took some of the hit, or didn't you hear that?
Yeah,
or didn't you want to hear that?
You took the hit.
No, that's
all right,
okay.
We'll say something later.
Please.
So while I'm finishing in 60 seconds, that's basically my report, that we're in a little bit of a mess, but we are going to get out of this. We are going to move forward. And I'll tell you what, and I'm not suggesting this is going to happen, you can run a radio station with no paid staff if you have to. I've seen it done at WB. I've seen it done at Pacifica. It can happen. So let's not say that we can't run this station on a tiny staff if we have to. If we have to.
Right.
If we have to, we can do it. Because the most important thing, it's not me. It's not our staff. It's the job we do as a station for our listeners.
Right.
It's not the Kaiser Health Plan. It's not that. It's the thousands of listeners that we have. It's the thousands of listeners around this country that listen to community radio. It's not just KPFA. KPFA is in disgrace. We have the NFCB coming. We weren't even asked to be involved in that. The most senior, the oldest radio station in the country, not even, would you like to have a website? You must know a workshop. You must know a lot about community radio. You must have great experience after all those years. Nothing. I called up Jenny Burns. I said, Jenny, can I help? And she said, I think we're okay, Andrew. Okay. I said, I understand, but let me know. I was embarrassed, and I'd only been there 2 weeks at that point. So I guess one final thing, program council, because if we had had a program council, maybe some of this wouldn't have happened. So we've talked about a program council, and we've decided, and we're pushing for this, that we have a smaller program council, and this be brought to bear quite soon, and that we ask for 2 members from the LSB, that we ask for 2 paid staff representatives, and that would be CWA representatives, that we ask for 2 community advisory board representatives, and that we ask for 3 unpaid staff representatives and the program director. So that makes a total of 9 people, which is inside the system, plus the program director, who basically has veto power. on the program council. So that's what we're suggesting, a small number of people, and we, you, can talk about how one might go about organising elections or voting or however. I would suggest it's pretty simple that the LSP would, since you already have elections and you already invite people to vote to represent them, that out of this body can come a representative body of listeners. Similarly, from the community advisory board, so we don't have to have elections except inside the station, I think we would have to. And in that way, we can give up some of the control that I take on grudgingly. Grudgingly. Do you think I want to sit here and rail and carry on and get ready for the onslaught I'm going to hear in a couple of minutes? No, I don't. No, I don't. But it's the way we have to work. Finally, at the moment, the morning program essentially is not the old morning mix, but the new morning mix for now. Until we get a program council that can look at this information thoroughly and honestly and deeply and take into account all of the matters that I've just mentioned. And we have to stop this idea of our union, or your union, not my union, the staff's union, getting deeply involved in the politics of the station, very divisively involved, and I would suggest to a very large extent disassociating a lot of listeners from the station and being part of the cause of this demise that we're currently in. And finally, wouldn't it be wonderful if all the skills that went into the union website went in to the KPFA website? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the help that we need came from our own people instead of going in a 180-degree diametrically opposed direction, ripping the station apart? Wouldn't it be great similarly if the KPFA news website, with all their skills, their Twitter this and their Twitter that, all their experience went to helping our website, but we don't get that help. So the battle continues.
Thank you. I'm going to open the floor for discussion in a minute, but I feel like personally I have to respond to something, Andrew. First of all, I think that the whole tone of your report was really unfortunate, and I, you know, that's my personal view. On the question of the Program Council, I just want to set the record straight, because you and I talked about the Program Council when I met with you prior to the last local station board meeting, and I thought you were going to have a proposal for us at that meeting to talk about the Program Council. I talked to you, we spoke again this past Wednesday, and you said you would have a proposal to us before today. There's been, you, in our first discussion on the Program Council, you told me that the proposal that had been adopted by this board last summer was unworkable, and, you know, and you essentially outlined what you said to me today. But I really think it's unfair to make it sound as if it's the fault of this LSB that we haven't moved on the Program Council. You told me the old proposal was unworkable. You told me you would give me a new proposal, and this is the first time that you've done it this morning. So I, you know, that rankled me a little bit, and I had to speak to that. Now the floor is open for conversation, discussion. Okay, Matthew, and then Tracy.
Yeah, I just I want to say a few things. A lot of things, but I'll try to keep it short. One thing is, you know, you come in here and you talk about what do we know about community radio, and you obviously know a lot about community radio. I don't know all that much about radio, but I know a lot about the community that is in the Bay Area. I know all of us, when you're talking to us here, we're not just a little faction on this board. All of us have been involved in progressive politics in the Bay Area going back since I was 15 years old. I've seen this radio station serve one struggle after another. I've seen it go through ups and downs. It has been a resource for our progressive community. You have to understand that. What you're talking to here are people who got a majority of the votes from this listener community. Now, if you want to talk about improving this radio, you have to know something about our community. You come into this station appointed by somebody who has come in here, turned over this station, undermined the whole LSB and the listeners, gone against the whole paid staff, and makes a decision that runs completely against everything we said. Don't do that. Don't take away the Lister's favorite station. Oh no, they do that. Then you tank. And what do you say? It's the fault of the people who are unhappy about them taking away the listener station. This is the thinking that will destroy this station. What you have to do is you have to be aware of what community you're in. You have to pay attention to the consequences of the actual decisions you make. And you have to recognize right now you are heading this station in the wrong direction, and so are they. Now, we have differences on this board. We have differences in this community. We have to find a way to make a compromise to save this station. Right now, this station is headed in the direction of what is a segment of this community that will be unable to sustain a radio station that will really be able to reach out and grow. You got to make the changes. And you have to get over this idea. And I feel sorry for you because you've been put in a rough position. But I'll tell you right now, the dissension, what you call it, and what we see is the resistance to a coup d'etat, that dissension is not going to go away. That we are going to take this station back for our community.
Okay.
Do you want me to respond?
Why don't we let a few people talk and then
good.
You can go respond, ahead. Okay? So I have Tracy and Andrea and Richard on the
Richard
list.
Richard can go first. Frank can go
first. Okay.
Okay, you got that?
You know, never mind. Okay.
Okay.
Tracy, go ahead.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for coming to the board meeting, and thanks for the report. A couple of things. So you reported the fund drive as $564,000. I just want to make a brief reminder that last spring, the May 2010 fund drive, when we were in three quarters of the way to losing $585,000 or so, KPFA's fund drive came in at $660,000. Which was $90,000 short of the goal. That said, I do think that we are suffering a bit of a hit, and I think you've made some rational explanations for why that might be. I think we're going to continue fundraising for a couple more days, so it is likely that this fund drive will come in when all is said and done within $50,000 of last year's fund drive. Just to keep in perspective the language about tanking and going down the shooter and falling apart and all of the rest of it, what we are looking at is not some thunderous response to particular circumstances. What we're looking at is very consistent trends over the past three to four years that have been very consistent. And consistently, we've been missing the mark on our spring fund drive for the past, I believe, 3 years. This year is within shooting distance of everything that matches our performance in 2009 and our performance in 2010. You weren't here, so I wanted to be clear about that. Two other things. On the NFCB, I'm registered, I'm attending, I'll talk up Pacifica and KPFA in the most positive terms that I can. And if there are ways in which, looking at the program, you feel there are contributions that you can make, I'm happy to try to make some rapprochement there, because I think it is important that KPFA participate in the NFCB conference when the NFCB conference is right here in San Francisco. Thirdly, on the Program Council motion, whatever your criticisms of it, and I think they're fair, was passed when the board majority was slightly different. In August of 2010, I want to make the point that we are now at May of 2010 with no implementation. That obviously predates Andrew by a substantial period of time. I appreciate that you want to make some changes and some modifications. In general, I think they're pretty good changes and modifications. I have a couple of nits, we can talk about them. But I want to be clear that the point that you made about there being no meaningful process to make any sort of changes is important. Whatever process there was ripped apart, and what it's been replaced with is chaos, dissension, and the worst kind of pressure politics. None of it is helping the station So I really appreciate the fact that you're going to try to do something better going forward, because we all do that. Because we all know that, and we all need that. I am in no way an advocate of management forcing changes down the gullet of anything, but I am an advocate for the responsibility of management to put in processes that allow for orderly input and collaborative decision making. That's what the bylaws say. That's what we should be doing. And we're suffering from the destruction of meaningful process, which happened before you ever showed up, and which has been expensive in every way. That's it. Thanks.
Okay, so I have Richard, Andrea, Franklin, Sasha, and Khan. Anyone else want to come on the list? Okay, Richard.
Andrew, thank you for coming, and I appreciate your courage in taking this head on. I think that what needs to be looked at here for a lot of people, since Mr. Hallinan brought up his long history here, is the history of this body and the history of what's happened at this station over the last few years. Gus Newport was appointed manager, and guess what? The people who are the predecessors of this group, save KPFA and KPFA for Worker, ran him out of the station. Roy Campanella was picked by their faction and later was ran out of the station by these folks. Yeah, well, this is the staff people you now support. We're supporting all that. Not too long ago, a nice...
I don't even know this. Shut up. Okay. Don't go into this history.
No, it's important to know.
Matthew,
excuse me.
Quiet. He just makes it up.
I'm not making anything up.
Quiet. Let him talk.
I challenge you to say, prove that anything I've said is wrong.
Okay. Just speak,
Richard. Amit was hired to be a manager here, and he got the same treatment and was ran out of here because people wouldn't cooperate with him. It's not the matter that you want to dissent about way things are happening. It's the manner in which you dissent. I mean, you guys look for every wedge issue you can push. You use extreme hyperbole. You use half-truths, misquotes, as one was discussed here today. What's progressive about that? The truth is what we need to be looking for, and we need to be honest in our dissension, and that's not happening, and that's what's hurting KPFA and the audience. We're not looking like a Pacifica mission station that cares about hearing both sides. You guys go crazy and have your people on the staff go on the air all the time and say things, you know, that shouldn't be happening. I mean, editorial comments, what he said about the FCC is right. The manager is responsible for that stuff, and it gets out of line, he can get fined, the station can lose its license, all kinds of things can happen. So that's the problem I have. I have no problem with anybody dissenting about anything, but the manner should be, you know, as the old political statement goes, you know, as contradictions amongst the people. And you're doing this as if you're dealing with contradictions amongst the enemy. That's the way you're treating it.